This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Giants driving, Matt, to make this thing interesting. 30-7 is the score right now.
You sound like Joe Tessitore trying to drum up drama in a game that means nothing.
Who is he on this weekend? I don't know. I like. I think I like Joe Tessitore overall as a broadcaster. But yes, he does get carried away at times. That is for sure. 30-7 is the score. 12 minutes to go in the third quarter. Hey, this hour being brought to you by our friends at Better. Better Picks is a daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. Download Better or visit better.app. Sign up today. Get a free $10. No deposit necessary.
This is the final hour of the show.
It's final hour, man.
And this show flies by tonight. It's great to have Wes Reynolds on for a half hour to talk a little bit of everything.
Oh, boy.
Giants facing a fourth down here, Tim, and there's no question they got to go for it. But will Mike Kafka?
I don't know, Matt. Might have to kick a field goal here to cut it down to a 20-point lead after we saw that 20-point.
I don't think any coach is that big a goofball to do that at this point. 11 minutes to go in the third quarter. You got a fourth and six. You got to go for it. And the Giants will. So let's hold on here. We got a tweet from Jason Jarvis, who's about to lose a best bet for the first time in 2 months, more than 2 months.
11 in a row. Entering tonight, and unfortunately, the Patriots' soon-to-be 10-game winning streak is going to be the reason for the end of that, as we get a turnover on downs by the New York Giants.
No flags on the field. Dart overthrew his receiver. It's going to be first down Patriots, but you had to go for it there.
All right, Jason Jarvis, who is currently tied for first in the Circa Friday Football Invitational with Chris the Bear Felica. His best bet this week was Giants plus the points, and he said on Twitter, "All good things must come to an end, and it was appropriate way to wrap up the worst handicapping week that I've had all season. Time to start a new streak. Appreciate the love along the way." At Matt Humans 247 and at Mitch Moss Radio, Matt.
11 straight best bet winners in the Circuit Friday Football Invitational for Jarvis, who's a pro gambler out of Connecticut. Jarvis trying to make it 12 in a row tonight with Giants plus 7, and he's got no hope. He did tell me on Wednesday night, prior to Thanksgiving Eve, right, that if we could use Thanksgiving games in the contest this week, and I mentioned it on the air, so it's not after the fact, it's not hindsight. Jarvis said on that Wednesday night, his best bet in the contest would have been Packers at Detroit. And that would have been a winner. But yep. Those games were not eligible for the Friday night contest being played on Thursday.
So, Matt, just a quick update to the Circa Friday Football Invitational. Mm-hmm. A solid week for the Bear, as he continues to be solid almost every single week. 4-3 week for him, Matt. And with no winner tonight, Jarvis and Felica tied atop the standings after, 13 weeks?
Jarvis obviously has a tiebreaker. And, boy, talk about tight at the bottom of the standings and drama with the cuts. So we cut the bottom two contestants in the standings each week, mm-hmm. starting with week 9. And one of the cuts this week was Drew Bridges, last year's Average Joe winner. Drew and Steve Cofield were tied for the last spot.
Steve Fezzik.
Oh, yeah. I said Cofield. Sorry. Steve Cofield's a local ESPN radio host. Anyway, Steve Fezzik and Drew Bridges tied for that last spot. And we had to go to the fourth tiebreaker.
Wow, really?
The fourth tiebreaker, and Fezzik got the edge, and Fezzik stays alive, and Drew Bridges has to go home. I talked with Drew today. He was he had a great attitude about the whole thing. He knew the tiebreakers going into it, and it all came down to Sunday night football and that Broncos-Commanders game, and then Drew lost the fourth tiebreaker.
Oh, man, a lot of tiebreaker talk. You look at all these conferences, the Mountain West, the ACC, mm-hmm. the MAC. How about this? Adam Burke let me know about this. The MAC championship is going to be Western Michigan versus Miami of Ohio. There was a three-way tie for second place, Matt, between Miami, Toledo, and Ohio. Miami had two losses to Toledo and Ohio. But Toledo and Ohio didn't play each other, so they had to go to different tiebreakers and remove head-to-head. And guess who won the tiebreakers? Miami of Ohio. The ACC, we already discussed that, but just a disaster. I mean, they're out there tweeting about Miami being in over Notre Dame, and they should be. Well, you've got 5-6-2 teams, and you're going to select Duke to be your representative. And they could end up having zero teams in the college football playoff, Matt. The betting odds for James Madison to make the playoff have shrunk considerably because of the situation unfolding in the ACC, Virginia and Duke. Now, I have not bet this game, but what is interesting to note, Matt, Virginia was a 5-point underdog at Duke just a couple weeks ago. They won the game impressively, and now, Matt, they are a 3.5-point favorite. And wouldn't it be just typical ACC, because on Saturday night, SMU, all they had to do was win as a 13.5-point favorite at Cal, who just fired their head coach. They lost the game outright. And wouldn't it be classic ACC, their best team might be left out in Miami, and now Duke could end up winning this conference and leaving the conference left out of the playoff.
Yeah, that Miami loss to SMU looks even worse, right, with the SMU loss to Cal?
Mm-hmm.
It looks a little bit worse. I know that I'm not so much into comparing which losses are the worst, but Miami does have a couple of disappointing losses. At home as a 2-touchdown favorite to Louisville, to an SMU team that's unranked as well. So plenty will be talked about with that argument again tomorrow night when the college football playoff dog and pony show airs on ESPN.
But you love that show, man.
I hate that show. I've always hated it.
What do you like more, Chip Kelly offensive coordinating or ESPN's ranking reveal show?
I let Chip Kelly call plays all day and night before I watch that college football playoff fiasco.
Wow, I found something that you dislike more than Chip Kelly's play calling.
I hate it. I dislike it. I hate the college football playoff show. I hate it. Everything about it's dumb. It is. Until you get to the final rankings, to the final side. Now, you want to know what the committee's thinking along the way? But the committee has no idea what
they can change their mind come Sunday.
It's random thoughts, no guidelines for how they rank the teams. The whole thing is stupid.
Well, we'll see. I will ask you this, Matt. As this is playing out, it feels like it's building up for Notre Dame versus Miami for the final at-large bid. Now, if BYU beats Texas Tech on Saturday, that'll certainly change the perspective, I would imagine, and probably leave both of those teams out. Would you look at Miami at the inflated price to make the playoff at around, I think, 6-1 or so?
Yeah, I would. I think Miami's got a shot to get in here.
I do, too. And this isn't me.
Committee's going to be under a lot of pressure to find a way to put Notre Dame and Miami into the field.
That's going to be tough.
It is going to be tough. But can you find a way, Tim?
They need Alabama to get blown out. I think if Alabama gets blown out, there's a chance. What's interesting, Matt.
There's actually a chance that could happen.
Now, I put this together.
I like Georgia in that game to get revenge.
I do, too. So I put this together, Matt, and I put it out on social media. I didn't even put any opinion on it. I just put out the facts. Here's resumes. And early on in the whole situation, the first ranking reveal had Miami 18 and Notre Dame 10. And a lot of it had to do with the current form at the time of Miami, which made sense. They were off that loss to SMU. But things have kind of tightened up. Miami's been playing much better. I think they are a top 10 team in college football right now. But, Matt, look at the side-by-side of some of these numbers. And Miami, Notre Dame, and Oklahoma, ESPN's FPI, Notre Dame 3, Miami 7, Oklahoma 16. The strength of record metric that they use quite a bit, Notre Dame 13, Miami 14, Oklahoma 9. The strength of schedule, much stronger for Oklahoma. But if you look at Jeff Sagarin, he has Notre Dame 2, Miami 6, Oklahoma 13. SB Plus, Bill Conley, Notre Dame 5, Miami 6, Oklahoma 9. Look, I think Oklahoma's getting in. But I'll tell you this, Matt. If Notre Dame or Miami are playing Oklahoma, I'm going to be looking to bet against them. That offense is bad for Oklahoma right now.
Sure.
Their defense is legit, though. There's no denying that. That defense is maybe the best defense in college football, but I like what I've seen from Miami as of late. And I also, nothing has taken me off Notre Dame. They look really good right now.
Yeah, Notre Dame's resume, the biggest issue, and it's obvious, even as a Notre Dame supporter, you have to admit your best win's not real impressive.
No, USC, it's not.
Home win against USC, not that impressive. So that's the weakness of the Notre Dame resume.
The Pitt win doesn't look as good because Miami went out there and destroyed Pitt as well. So, yeah, no doubt.
But I'll tell you right now, too, Miami not playing in the ACC championship game just makes this a little bit stranger, right? It's a little bit more difficult, too. Miami does not even make its conference championship game. But if you put Notre Dame and Miami on a neutral, and we're doing a betting show, and we're sitting in a sports book, and I love talking about this stuff from this perspective. It doesn't mean everything, but it means something. If you put Notre Dame and Miami on a neutral, what's the number right now?
Six. Notre Dame, six.
Notre Dame's definitely more than a field goal favorite, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
If you put Notre Dame and Oklahoma on a neutral, what's the number?
Seven.
Yep. So there's an argument for putting Notre Dame in the field.
Alabama's Nick Saban made that argument a couple years ago. Remember that?
Yeah, I do. I do remember that.
Hey, just a reminder, this hour being brought to you by Better. Think you know sports, and it's time to get paid for it. Better Picks is the daily fantasy app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. Head on over to better.app, that's B-E-T-R, or download Better in the App Store or Google Play. When you deposit, you also get a 50% deposit match up to $200. Right now, new users get free $10, free money, folks. So don't forget to use a promo code VSIN for your free $10 in deposit bonus today.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is VSiN Primetime here on this Monday night alongside Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. As we had a field goal attempt missed, Matt. Huh? We got hope?
Doors cracked open for the Giants making
30-7.
Improbable comeback
tonight.
Come on.
Punch it back, baby.
Tim Murray's got hope.
No, I don't. By the way, Jackson Dart still with 12 yards rushing since he got lit up on the sideline, Matt. And you mentioned that Mike Kafka went over to his quarterback and said, hey, cut it out. No more running. He has not run. So will he stay under his rushing prop?
You know what? It's interesting about that, too. The fact that he didn't run might have been the biggest play in the game. You know, talked about that 3rd and 10, and he stepped up in the pocket. All the pressure was behind him. He had at least 15 yards he could run for the first down. Jackson Dart typically will run that. Instead, he threw to the end zone incomplete. Giants attempted the field goal. They flubbed the snap. Jamie Gillen dropped the snap, and it was all downhill from there. I really think, Tim, that's where the entire game turned. It was that Jackson Dart had the chance to run for that first down. Giants were down 17-7. They would have had a first down at about the Patriots' 20, and instead they had the field goal attempt, and they screwed up the snap and the hold, and never even got the field goal off, and it's been all downhill since then. Now Dart takes off and runs. He dives for the first down, head first dive for the first down. How about this? You're 2-10. You're down by 23. You really don't want your quarterback running and diving head first for the first down.
Oh, man. 30-7 is
the score.
Run
the ball on 3rd and 10 when the middle of the field was wide open.
I can't with this game. I know, this game is...
The NFL, I tell you, there's a lot of nonsense in the NFL. So I talked about Myles Garrett of the Browns wasting away on a hopeless franchise. And I called him one of the five best defenders in the NFL in the last 25 years.
Okay, so this century. I think that's
the five best defensive players.
I think that's fair. Aaron Donald certainly in that discussion.
Myles Garrett has had 14 or more sacks five straight years. He's got 121 and a half career sacks. He's got 19 this year. Tim, he's going to set the
record,
the season sacks record this year. One of our producers back there, Finhouse, gave me a list of his top defensive greats over the past 25 years.
Okay.
I'm going to throw some names out there. Since this game is so bad, we can talk about this for a few minutes. I'll put Myles Garrett in my top five.
Okay.
So he gave me a list. I believe he's got, let's see, at least about 20 players on this list.
Wow.
Aaron Donald.
Okay.
Of the Rams.
Yep. got to be on there.
J.J. Watt, Texans.
Mm-hmm. I'd say, yeah.
Pretty close.
But three-time defensive player of the year, J.J. Mm-hmm. Watt, yeah.
Ed Reed of the Ravens, yeah.
Right. Sure.
Ray Lewis of the Ravens.
Yeah.
This one I'm not sure about. Darrell Revis of the Jets. I would not put him top five.
Well, I mean, someone's got to be out if you're going to put in Miles Garrett.
Okay. We got a lot more.
All right.
He's got a list of 20, yeah. So I'm putting him out. Luke Kuechly of the Panthers. Charles Woodson of the Raiders. Julius Peppers of the Panthers. Michael Strahan of the Giants. Dwight Freeney of the Colts. Warren Sapp of the Bucks. Derek Brooks of the Bucks. Brian Urlacher of the Bears.
Can I say this? Warren Sapp and Derek Brooks. Oh, yeah. I would say early 2000s was right. Their kind of peak, right? They won the title in, what was that, 02?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Okay. No, 2000. When did the Bucks?
I thought the Ravens won it in 2000.
Ravens won it in 2000. Yeah, okay, you're right.
Brian Urlacher, Champ Bailey of the Broncos, Brian Dawkins of the Eagles, Troy Polamalu of the Steelers. Man, Polamalu was awesome. Might be in my top five. Bobby Wagner, Seahawks, Richard Sherman.
Still playing Bobby Wagner.
I know. Having a hard time in pass coverage.
He's old.
I know. Can't keep up with those young deer running around. Khalil Mack of the Raiders and Von Miller of the Broncos. Great list by Finhouse. Man. Nice job. He knows his history of the NFL.
Von Miller, man. That year they won the Super Bowl. God, he was an absolute monster on the edge.
I'm going to say that Ed Reed is definitely in your top five.
Yep.
If not number one. I'd still put Miles Garrett in my top five.
Got to put Aaron Donald in
Five. Aaron Donald's going to go in the top five. Let's see. I would personally, I'm putting Troy Polamalu in there. The guy was all over the field. He was a maniac. Loved watching him play. And then fifth spot, kind of up for grabs. It's going to be personal taste and opinion. You're going to have a lot of people who are going to disagree, I think, on three, four, and five. Ed Reed's a
no-doubter. He might be number one.
Ed Reed and Aaron Donald's going to be on everyone's list. J.J. Watt on most.
I think Miles Garrett's getting up there on most.
I mean, he might end up as the all-time sack leader by the time he's done, and he'll never appear in a playoff. Trout of football.
Well, think about this.
Never get a playoff win. What's that?
I mean, you think about two first ballot elite Hall of Famers that Cleveland has had in this century. Sure. Joe Thomas and Miles Garrett. And neither one are going to take. Well, I guess Miles Garrett did go to the playoffs.
I thought you were going to say Joe Flacco.
No. Super Bowl MVP Joe Flacco,
right.
Sir.
Yep.
All right, end of the third quarter, 30-7 right now. Taking a look at the live number over at DraftKings for this one. And, Matt, do you have a number up on what the live line is?
Tim, it is 21.5. So if you want to take a bite of the apple with the Giants, you get three touchdowns and a hook. Live total now down to 49.5. It was as high as 59.5, I think. Somewhere 57.5 or 59.5. 45-1 on the money line if you want the Giants to make an improbable comeback.
You know. Matt, the AFC feels wide open right now.
The NFC might be wide open too, right?
But yesterday in the AFC, we saw a pretty dominant performance by the Buffalo Bills over the Pittsburgh Steelers. 26-7. The final score in that one. James Cook going for a cool 144 yards on the ground. Josh Allen runs for a touchdown, throws another touchdown. But Aaron Rodgers didn't have an enjoyable day, did he?
No, but it wasn't his fault, Tim.
Never is his fault.
It wasn't his fault.
You want to hear from him?
Not really, but let's do it anyway.
When there's film sessions, everybody shows up. And when I check through a route, you do the right route, you know? Like, John and I just weren't on the same page. I checked to his in-breaker, and he ran out-breaker. John is a true professional, so I'm sure he's sick about that. But you know, I threw a ball I thought was going to get hit by the wind, and it was 4 yards over Roman. So I got to make that throw. But, you know, we have our meetings every week. We have other opportunities outside of the facility, and look forward to seeing all the boys there.
By the way, if you're watching with us, by the way, I know a lot of you listening on SiriusXM 158.
You hate to be his teammate.
He looked like one of the characters from Home Alone after he got beat up by Kevin McAllister. He had the hat on. He had a cut across his nose.
First play of the third quarter, he gets sacked.
Nose
Boza
open.
Boza hits him from behind. Sacks and ball flies loose. Bills return it for a touchdown. Probably not Aaron Rodgers' fault, though, because he checked right on the coverage and somebody blew the blocking assignment. I don't know. He seems to like to throw teammates under the bus.
Touchdown, Giants, Matt.
Giants right back in this
thing,
Tim.
Here we go. By the way, what number did you get?
Just stop. Let's not talk about that right now.
You got a better number than me.
Nobody.
Oh, they're going for two, man.
Nobody clings on to hope like Tim Murray, I tell you.
Devin Singletary, touchdown. You know, try to inspire some hope.
Yeah, I've given up a long time ago. It's over.
What number did you get?
Best thing you can do is give up.
Motivation. Is that Matt Foley? Motivational speaker? Is that Matt Humans?
It's the opposite of the Jimmy V speech.
Oh, man. Devin Singletary on a direct snap into the end zone. They're going to go for two. 30-13 is the score. 14:54 to go in the ball game here. The opposite of the Jimmy V speech. Oh, Matt, over at vsin.com, we've got our exclusive player prop
projections.
A little
razzle-dazzle from the Giants, and this is a backyard football play.
Falling down.
Dart running around.
Oh, he got it.
Throws it back across the middle. Two-point conversion is good.
Never
it's a 15-point game. 30-15, 6 seconds into the fourth quarter, and here come the Giants.
Matt always had hope.
I don't know what the play design was there, it was like, Jackson, just run around until you find somebody open.
There's an offensive lineman laying on the ground.
What is going on
here? Speaking of those player props that I mentioned, you can get them as a VSiN Pro subscriber. Once again, the AI player prop projections powered by Opta AI, the trusted data source behind the elite soccer analytics in the UK. You can access it all with a VSiN Pro subscription, vsin.com/subscribe.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Matt's got hope because he is confident, and he is one who believes, like all the youngsters, but jolly old Saint Nick, right, Matt? It is the month of Christmas, and you're believing that the New York Giants are going to show some life here and battle back and cover the spread.
They're covering the live number of 15.5 right now, but, Tim, that's not going to last long. Patriots probably mount a drive, put more points on the board. I'm looking at this list of the top – or our list here of the top NFL defensive players of the past 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
No Patriots on the list.
Well, Darrell Revis.
Jets.
I guess he was more of a Jet than a Patriot.
More of a Jet.
Yeah.
Teddy Bruschi. Rodney Harrison. Boy, what was wrong with Rodney Harrison last night?
Vrabel.
I did like Mike Vrabel. Did you see Rodney Harrison last night?
I did not. No.
Very bizarre. Check it out when you get a chance during the commercial break. He looked like he was out of it, zoned out. Mm. They asked him a question. He was on the set with Tony Dungy. They gave an abbreviated answer and goes, that's it. He was seriously out of it. Something was wrong with him. I don't know. You know, sometimes the producers talk into our ears in the headset, and you get distracted. But I think it was more than that. It was something. He seemed to be physically bothered by something. Drake May looks like he's going to take a sack on second and eight at about the 45-yard line. So maybe this Patriots drive will stall. We'll see. But, you know, going back to what Aaron Rodgers was talking about, he did take some accountability. I heard he said, I've got to play better, but then he threw teammates under the bus. And I don't know if the Steelers team's going to be able to regroup and make a run. This looks like it's going to be Mike Tomlin's first losing season. Steelers are 6-6, and some of these home dog roles where they've been so good in the past, they've just come up flat. They got nothing. The defense is not making many plays. Speaking of that, the Giants make a play here, force the Patriots into a fourth and long, and you think Mike Vrabel's going to punt? Probably.
I think he is. Yeah, fourth and what is this going to be, about 10? At the 42-ish yard line, so kind of in that no man's land, and you're up 15. Punt, let your defense do the thing. And hopefully the Giants go down. And, Matt, you got the better number of it, so I'm sure this will land 15 because I have 13.5. So let's go down. Let's get a touchdown. Maybe kick a field goal. You know, Mike Kafka might be a field goal type of guy, down 15. May cut a two-possession game to a two-possession game. You know, Matt, looking ahead to next week, we briefly mentioned it in the first hour of the show. Great start to the week. Of week 14 with Dallas and Detroit. And right now, Detroit, a juiced 3-point favorite. Kind of like the way, and I think you mentioned it, Mitch mentioned it, certainly kind of like the way Detroit or Dallas is playing right now.
How can you not? That's how quickly things can turn around in the NFL. Dallas Cowboys were nearly left for dead after that Monday Night Football loss to the Cardinals. They have a bye. They come out of the bye, come to Vegas. Beat the Raiders. Tim, what they did the last 2 weeks. They beat both teams that were in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
At the end of last season. They beat the Eagles in a comeback for 21 down. They beat the Chiefs in a shootout 31-28. But the Dallas defense, I know 28 points were put on the board by the Chiefs, but I'm impressed by the way the Dallas defense is playing. Considering it's one of the worst defenses in the league, you know, a month, 2 months ago, this Dallas defense is coming up with big plays and stops. And Dak Prescott right now is dangerous. He is in a groove. And when you got two wide receivers playing at a high level, like George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb are right now, and you got a tight end you can count on, you got a respectable running attack, pretty good offensive line in front of you, this Dallas Cowboys team is going to be dangerous if they can find a way to make a run here and sneak into the playoffs. And they might be able to, because I'll tell you what, it sure looks like the Philadelphia Eagles want to fall apart like they did a couple of years ago.
Hey, what, George Pickens, man, he has been on some sort of tear.
Oh, he's playing for a contract.
As too. Of lately. Holy smokes. The Raiders game, buck 44, 9 catches. After that, 146, 9 catches, a touchdown against the Eagles, against the Chiefs on Thanksgiving, 6 for 88 yards. He's been fantastic.
And he had the biggest catch that set up the winning field goal. When that catch down the middle of the field, on Dak's last pass of the game. George Pickens has been playing great. Now, obviously, his absence has hurt that Steelers offense, too. But I think it got to the point where Mike Tomlin felt like the locker room was going to be much better off in Pittsburgh if George Pickens was gone.
Matt, quick update on the live number, 15.5, and it is minus 180 for the Giants. So there you go, Matt. Got a good number. I don't. I have 13.5.
I got 15.5 at minus 111. I don't think I'd lay minus 188.
No. Where it is plus right 145 now. If you like the Patriots. 30-15 is the score. Giants have the ball. 10:46 to go in the fourth quarter. Elsewhere, looking at week number 14, four final week of byes, Matt. Carolina, San Francisco, the Patriots who are watching right now, and the Giants both have byes heading into next week. Houston and Kansas City. I mean, at this point, Matt, we keep saying the same damn thing about Kansas City. Oh, this is a must win. They got to win this one.
Well, every game's a must win the rest of the way. They got to win them all.
I mean, is there anything, you look at how many close losses they've had, it's completely flipped from a year ago. You look at this Kansas City team, they're sitting there at 6-6. Chargers 8-4, Broncos 10-2. Can they get their way into the bottom portion of the playoff is the question. And is this a team that you'd look to back at a juicy price in the futures market, or is it not juicy enough?
Yeah, probably not. I think we're going to pass on the Chiefs in the futures market. 17-1 at DraftKings. You're talking about winning the Super Bowl, right?
Yep.
I have to shop around and see what the best number is. Is there 20-1 out there anywhere on the Chiefs? I was trying to look at these Circa Super Bowl futures, but those were taken down during tonight's game.
To make the playoffs right now, I'm looking at it right now. I thought they were going to be up there. But to win the AFC right now, Matt, the Chiefs plus 950 to win the AFC. Just, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, you try to find.
There's no great team in the AFC.
I know.
The Broncos have 10 wins, but nobody thinks they're a great team. They've got a great defense. They're on a roll. They're winning a lot of close games. Really, when you look at the entire NFL right now, there's no great teams. That's why I think they're going to make the playoffs. You know, it's a cliche, but it's wide open.
Yep.
And at this time, it's really true. You don't really have a true favorite when you think about it. What's your starting point when you're making the odds? Well, you're going to have to start with the Rams in the NFC.
And then they go out and lose to the Panthers yesterday. Yeah. I mean, that's the wild thing about this year. Rams still the favorites to win the Super Bowl, but then you've got Seattle, Green Bay. Certainly played well, but they've had moments. They lost to the Panthers, too,
right
at home. You got the Bills, Pate. I mean, I agree. I think you could make an honest case for how many teams down could you make a case for to win the Super Bowl? Rams? Seahawks? Can you make a case for the Seahawks?
Boy, I'm not a Sam Darnold guy, so I can't make that case. I like almost everything about the Seahawks but the quarterback. By the way, we were making fun of Max Brosmer in the game yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was making fun of Max before he even took his first snap. I couldn't believe he was starting an NFL game. I mean, that's definitely – you got to knock down Kevin O'Connell's power rating a little bit for even having Max Brosmer in a position where he's going to be your starting quarterback. But he threw for 126 yards with four picks and four sacks. Sam Darnold threw for 128 yards – with no TDs, no picks, and four sacks. You know Sam Darnold's QBR was 18.3? Max Brosmer was 5.6. That was a really poorly quarterback game on both sides. I just have a hard time believing, and I said this last year, and JVT would always scoff at it. I kept saying, I don't believe in the Vikings. I'm not going to bet in the Vikings in the futures, in the playoffs, because I don't believe Sam Darnold's going to be able to win the big games. And JVT would don't scoff. Look at the numbers. The numbers show Sam Darnold's an elite quarterback. Well, then the final week of the regular season happened in Detroit. And then the playoff game happened. And JVT admitted, Sam Darnold reverted to who he is. Right? And that's what we kept waiting for the entire season. When is the real Sam Darnold going to show up? And he finally did in the last two games. I can't bet on the Seahawks because of him. Otherwise, I like that team quite a bit. Anyway, Tim, to answer your question, I think you could probably go almost 10 deep teams that can win the Super Bowl, don't you think?
Yeah, we'll go through that. We'll go through maybe some college teams as well that could win it all. We have an injured player just a moment ago. As the Giants have the ball second and 12, trailing by 15 with 10 minutes to go in this one. Hey, if you think you know about sports, then it's time to get paid for it. Better Picks is the daily fantasy app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. Here's how it works. Download the Better app, pick more or less on your favorite player's stats, and if your pick hits, you win. Right now, new users get a free $10 for just signing up. No deposit required. Head to better.app, that's B-E-T-R, or download Better in the App Store or Google Play. Don't forget to use the promo code VSIN for your free $10 in deposit bonus today.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is VSiN Primetime, brought to you by Better here in this final hour. 30-15 is the score, and a punt back to the New England Patriots. Live line still sits at 15.5 plus 110 for the Patriots on that number. A decent punt return, and we'll see if the New England Patriots are able to salt this one away. Matt, you took 15.5 in game. I took 13.5, so you've got the better number right now. And hopefully, somehow, some way, the New York Giants can get into the back door and get us a cover from the live line standpoint, but not really holding out too much hope on that one. 7:41 to go in the fourth quarter.
There still is a scenario where the Giants can get a crack at a backdoor touchdown and a two-point conversion to cut it to 7. Not going to happen.
What about Vince Wilfork? Matt, we're talking about the top players of the last 25 years in the NFL from a defensive standpoint. And one of our producers, Fenhouse, put together a pretty good list over there.
Very good list. Look at that handwriting.
Great
too.
Handwriting, wow. By the way. Wow, that's much better than mine.
They could win a handwriting competition.
My chicken scratch over here. All right, Patriots with the ball, and they'll see if they can add to their advantage right now. 30-15 is the score. Matt, we've hit on it, and obviously we have all week to discuss them, but just kind of running through some of the notable championship games in college football. You hit on it already. Let's revisit it. The biggest one, 1-2, Indiana, Ohio State. We've seen money come in on Indiana. This was as high as, you said, 6.5 were out there?
6.5 were out there Saturday night. I didn't take it because I was hoping, well, if it's that close to 7, and there's so much Ohio State support typically in the betting market, that maybe the Buckeyes get bet up to 7. Didn't happen. It started to go the other way. Last night, the Westgate Superbook still had 6, so I did take Indiana plus 6.
All right, so you're in on Indiana. 4.5 now the market number across, the market, 5s are out there. And we discussed this with Wes Reynolds. Could actually be, believe it or not, a letdown spot in a championship game. They're 12-0, and here's the thing about Ohio State, Matt. Mm-hmm. They know as well as anybody, doesn't really matter how you finish up the regular season, it's how you start up the postseason. And guess what? Both of these teams are locked into a first-round bye. And who are you going to play? I mean, they're not going to look this far down the road, but who are you going to play in that quarterfinal game? Where are you going to play it at? So I think there's a reality where if Indiana, as we get a touchdown, there is a flag down. Hunter Henry scores a touchdown and gives a big spike, but a flag is down. I think there's a reality, Matt, where Ohio State loses to Indiana, still the 2 seed, and maybe still gets the Rose Bowl if that's where they want to play their quarterfinal game.
Could be. That definitely could be a plausible scenario. I just know at Ohio State, you got 2 goals.
It's an illegal shift.
Illegal shift. That's going to bring back the touchdown pass by Drake May.
Oh, we're going to get, yeah, actually it's offsetting penalties. So they are, we'll do it again, but no touchdown.
I would say that Ohio State's main goal was to win the national championship. Goal 1B, 1A, and 1B is beat Michigan. And, you know, if they win the Big Ten, so be it. But at Ohio State, you want to beat Michigan, you want to win the national championship. I think there is going to be a bit of a letdown. It's odd to say that when you're talking about a conference championship game, but don't forget, Ohio State won the national championship last year without even playing in the Big Ten title game. So I'm not sure how much this – it means everything to Indiana. Wes Reynolds was here talking about it with us last hour. Wes is decked out in his Indiana uniform, his sweatshirt, his hat, ready to head back home and sing like Jim Nabors. But I'll tell you that I do think this Kurt Cignetti coach team is going to be live to win this game on Saturday in Indianapolis. This is not in Columbus. This is not in South Bend. And this is not last year's Indiana team. I said that probably 10 times on this network before Indiana went out to Oregon that week. And I took the points, and it seemed like everybody in the world said, well, last year when Indiana had to step up in competition, they got blown out by the Buckeyes and the Fighting Irish. So there were so many people laying the points with the Ducks. I said, this is not last year's Indiana team. This is better. Tim, and I think you agree, this Indiana team's better than it was a year ago.
I do. And Ohio State, defensively, I think you made a fair point. Have they been tested? What's the stiffest really, test that they've had?
How many
all year?
Really good offenses do you think the Buckeyes have faced? Really good. How many? 0 or 1?
Yeah, I mean, the team who had the most success, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. I don't have their schedule.
0 or 1?
Illinois.
Washington or Illinois?
Yeah, they stifled Washington.
Michigan's offense is mediocre at best.
And Oregon took care of business against Washington this past weekend. I was very disappointed. Yeah. by that performance.
Washington offense did not look impressive in that game, did it?
So the one bet that I have made so far and I would still make is Georgia. I like them in this spot.
I do, too.
I know that Georgia at home was a 2.5-point favorite against Alabama and lost the game 24-21. I really like the way Georgia's been playing. Kirby Smart getting another crack at it. Mm-hmm. I know that Kirby Smart has got a bit of an Alabama problem, but if you could find, I would say the cheapest money line, DraftKings is minus 130. I think that's more than palatable. I really like Georgia in this spot, Matt. And
one of the keys there, you talked about Kirby Smart and his record against Alabama. What is it, by the way? It's like 1-8?
1-7, 1-6, something like that.
It's really, you know that bothers him.
Oh, yeah.
There is going to be no letdown from Kirby Smart this week. He wants this game badly, right?
Well, and you think about earlier this year.
Yeah, Bama beat the Bulldogs between the hedges. This is a revenge game, too.
Yeah. Earlier this year, Georgia played better in the second half, but didn't get there. Alabama had an awesome first half. Credit to them. Post-game win expectancy was in favor of Georgia, but at the end of the day, the final scoreboard gave Alabama the victory. I do think this is a spot that Kirby is going to be pretty fired up to take care of, and you could argue, hey, what's the motivation for Georgia playing in that conference, winning that championship? I know they won it last year, but I think they're going to be raring to go. I like Georgia in this spot. I think Alabama, Matt, they've got some issues. They're not a perfect team. I don't love what I'm seeing on offense right now. And, you know, credit to Kalen DeBoer. That was a gutsy call, 4th-and-2, goes for it, gets the touchdown pass. Yeah. I was not thrilled about it, but I like Georgia here. This is the one bet I've made so far. The other one, we talked about it.
Seriously, how many coaches kicked a field goal there where Kalen DeBoer went for it on fourth down? Do you think 9 out of 10 coaches kicked a field goal there, right?
I would think. Is it 95 out of 100? I don't know if it's that high, but
could be.
He had the you-know-what to do it, and he went for it. The UNLV-Boise game, Matt, I'm conflicted because preseason on the podcast and also on the in our betting guide, Matt, I wrote up Boise to win the conference at -$1.25. I just didn't see anyone else out there that stacked up against them from a talent standpoint. I've been pretty underwhelmed by Boise this year. That all being said, they're at home at night against UNLV, a team that they smashed earlier this season when they were a 13-point favorite. Maddox Mattson is back. Could he be rusty? Certainly fair to ask. But this number is wild considering it was 13 less than 2 months ago.
Yeah, Wes Reynolds was surprisingly optimistic about the Rebels when he was on talking with us. I didn't really anticipate he was going to come in here and say, like, the Rebels plus 4. I'm not sure what to make of this game right now because every time we've seen UNLV try to step up against Boise, it's been one-sided in the Broncos' favor.
2 years ago here in Allegiant, last year up on the turf as well. October 18th was the number 13 was the spread. 56-31 was the final score. Boise winning that game over the Rebels. So a lot more time to talk about it. You and I will be back tomorrow, Matt, to break down a monster card of college basketball as New England's going to get a first down here on third down. So Dustin Sweetelson, I'll have you covered. Any early college basketball bets for tomorrow's card?
I looked at the schedule a little bit here. I'm probably going to look at it a lot more tonight, but you know, we got some marquee matchups on Tuesday. I don't want to jump to conclusions right now because the numbers are about what I thought they were going to be in all the games, so I do want to read a little bit more about them tonight. I was hoping UConn, Tim, I was hoping UConn was going to be a small dog at Kansas. That's not the case.
They're UConn, a small favorite.
UConn's a 2-point favorite at Kansas. I do think UConn's a better team there with Terrace Reed back. I like the Huskies, but I'm not sure if I'm going to play it yet, so don't want to commit to any college hoop sides yet.
All right, Dustin Sweetelson has you covered. Coming up next, Matt and I will be back tomorrow, of course, getting you ready for a monster night in college basketball, as well as get you ready for championship week and week 14 of the NFL season. Coming up next, it'll be Dustin Sweetelson. Thanks to Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard. Thanks to Johnny Avello. And thanks to the Indiana Hoosier, Wes Reynolds, for jumping on the program. Thanks to Corey and everyone behind the scenes, as always. See if the Patriots get it into the end zone one more time before we get out of here. 30-15 is the score, and we will get a third down upcoming. Dustin Sweetelson will have the remainder of this thrilling game next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.